The recent earthquakes in Puerto Rico have caused widespread power outages on the island, leaving thousands of residents without electricity. And while the power authority says it's restored electricity to around 96% of the population, intermittent outages remain. The damage is particularly severe in the southwest, where officials say it could take more than a year to repair a major power plant in the region. And PREPA, the Puerto Rican Electric Power Authority, has been in crisis for years, dealing with crumbling infrastructure, frequent power outages, and bankruptcy. And that's why some community organizations, like the Puerto Rico Community Foundation, are taking matters into their own hands. They've started installing microgrids in low-income areas after Hurricane Maria. Nelson Colon, the president of the organization, says they've already completed four projects serving 64 communities.
When the whole island was in total darkness, those four projects were powered by solar. So they didn't have one day of interruption. They didn't have any major challenges. They keep moving forward.
Under former Governor Ricardo Rosselló, Puerto Rico had made an ambitious commitment to get 100% of its energy from renewable sources like solar by 2050. But since Rosselló's resignation last summer, those plans remain uncertain. I'm joined now by Michael Dybert, an author and journalist based in San Juan, and Sergio Markswatch, a policy director for the Center for a New Economy, also in San Juan. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael, you've been reporting on the aftermath of last week's earthquake. Tell us what the infrastructure looks like in the places that you've visited so far.
I mean, it's striking, really. I mean, particularly in Guanica, which was, I would say, the community most severely hit on the south. And ironically, also where the U.S. Military first landed in 1898 when they invaded Puerto Rico, you have pretty widespread destruction and, I would say, depopulation as well. You know, there's quite a bit of collapsed buildings and very few people still actually living in the center of the city. A lot of people have moved elsewhere or living in, you know, makeshift or temporary accommodations.
What is the power situation like in that region, in the southwest part of the island?
I think it's come back in some places, but so many people are living in such kind of improvised accommodations. I mean, I don't think a lot of people have regular access to the fruits of electricity as they're used to having when they're living in their own homes. And of course, PREPA service can be somewhat spotty in normal times, so to speak. So that's been something that's been an ongoing problem even before the earthquake.
Michael, you mentioned PREPA, which is the Puerto Rico Electric Power Authority. There have been calls for the executive director, Jose Ortiz, to resign. There's been a hashtag, Jose Ortiz Renuncia. Tell us about that. Where does that stand?
I mean, I think people are pretty upset with his performance. In an interview, he said that, you know, he was called to lead PREPA and he didn't send a CV into anyone, which I think gave a not really great impression to people about his attitude towards the crisis.
Sergio, where does FEMA stand? I mean, we know they've had a spotty record with the island so far since Hurricane Maria. Are they able to repair the grid?
Congress actually appropriated $2 billion just after Hurricane Maria in 2017, and they were earmarked specifically to modernize the grid. That money, unfortunately, has not been disbursed yet by the federal government. I don't know if it's FEMA's fault, if it's the Office of Management and Budget, but something definitely is holding up the money in Washington, D.C.
Sergio, last May, we said Puerto Rico announced a very ambitious plan. This is under Governor Ricardo Rosselló, who since stepped down after protests mounted on the island. He set out an ambitious plan to get all of the island's electricity from renewables by 2050. What progress has the island made since then?
Unfortunately, very little. Approximately around 5% of all the electricity produced in Puerto Rico right now comes from renewable sources. It's going to be very difficult to reach that target at this pace. We need PREPA and the private sector to start investing a lot more aggressively in these renewable sources. Otherwise, we're just probably going to miss the deadline.
And not just the deadline. I mean, Sergio, do you think that this is ultimately a solution for these infrastructure issues, given that there have been natural disasters like Hurricane Maria, like the earthquakes going forward?
Well, it would certainly help. As we listened to Dr. Colon, he did mention that, you know, those communities that had access to mini grids that were connected to solar panels did not suffer an outage. And that's the whole point. I mean, we're trying to change the system from a centralized system where you have five or six big units around the island to a lot of smaller generation capacity located in many points across the island. So when we have an earthquake, say in Wanaka, which is in the southwest part of the island, the East Coast, for example, doesn't have to suffer a complete outage.
We mentioned that since Roselló has stepped down, there's been a lot of change in Puerto Rico, not just at natural disasters, but also politically. Wanda Vasquez is the new governor of the island, and she's got a new administration. Is there political will, Sergio, to continue to push for solar at that level?
That's going to be an interesting question. Mrs. Vasquez is from the same party as Governor Roselló. So in theory, she would not have any political constraints in terms of pushing forward. However, she hasn't been very clear as to what her plan is going forward. And of course, we have elections in November, so that could change everything.
Michael, when you talk to residents of the island who've been affected by this most recent wave of earthquakes, are people talking about solar energy directly? Are they talking about what Wanda Vasquez is saying or not saying, or are their concerns much more basic than that?
I think one thing is that people feel like they've been extremely battered in recent years by these natural disasters, and it's really, you know, kind of rocking them back on their heels yet again. And I think, you know, one thing that a lot of folks on the ground hear is they're just wondering. I think they wish perhaps that the state as a whole could be a little bit more responsive to their needs. I think a lot of people maybe feel that, you know, the political parties in San Juan, and it's an interesting figure that I always remember, is that like 70% of the energy in Puerto Rico, I think it is created in the south of the country, and the usage is 70% in the north. So it's kind of this reverse relationship that places have. And I think a lot of these people who don't necessarily feel like the political actors in San Juan, in the capital, are really necessarily advocating for their interests all of the time.
Sergio, we've seen to that point that some communities have decided to take the situation into their own hands and built their own solar power networks without government help. How common is it for folks to do that, and how effective is it?
It became a big part of the solution, if you will, just after Hurricane Maria, because there were communities, as you know, that were without power for almost a year after the hurricane. So there was a lot of interest, mostly from the private sector and NGOs, to try to get some independence from the government-owned electricity company. And there has been some success in terms of getting electricity mini-grids in some of the most isolated communities, but we still have a long ways to go. It's not a 100% solution right now, given that, you know, solar power is intermittent and the grid that we have is really old. So the grid will have to be modernized in order for Puerto Rico to really scale up to the goals that were set up by Governor Roselló. But it's a good start. And also, as I mentioned earlier, we're still waiting for a significant amount of federal money that would be used to rebuild the grid, which is an essential component of reconfiguring the whole electricity system in the island.
Sergio, Mark Swatch is the policy director for the Center for a New Economy, and Michael Dybert is an author and journalist based in San Juan. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.